Okay, let's pray for Dan. So, Father, we thank you that our hope in you is not in vain, God, that we have an assurance in who you are, in your promises, and that even as Dan, this gift, this leader, the father in the house here, Lord, the one that you've called to lead, to equip, Lord, we have faith that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work in and through him to impart what you want to do this morning, God. That, Lord, that our hearts would be open to receive everything that you want to give, Lord, that we wouldn't allow distraction, as we heard this morning, to take our focus off this moment, Lord, where we can set our eyes, our heart, our soul upon you and allow you to transform us this morning, Lord, to do the work that you set before us. And so, God, I want to ask for a fresh grace to come upon this man. God, I want to ask that you would anoint his mind, his soul, that, Lord, that as he speaks, that he would speak your very words and that the Holy Spirit would work through and take every word and do and accomplish what you've set it out to do. And so, Lord, would you come and refresh him? Would you strengthen him? And as he pours out, Lord, would you give him fresh revelation, even as he's prepared his heart for this message, that, Lord, that he would have real-time divine revelation, that he'd be able to impart it to us. And so protect him, help him even in his health and in his body. Would you give him the stamina and the strength to be able to deliver this word without any excuse, God, but in the power and the authority within which you have given it and granted it this morning, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You're amazing. Damon, come on. This is Damon. He is one of our LEAP students from TMT. And yeah, woohoo, which is an amazing, it's like a discipleship program that we've got in the life of Josh Jen, where guys come from different congregations and they do a first year and some guys do a second year, and Damon's actually doing a second year, and then in the second half of this year he's going to America to do his second half of LEAP. But Damon reached out to me like a month, just over a month ago. And I'm going to give you the honest version, don't be offended. He reached out saying, "Hey, Dan, just wondering if I could shadow you for a little bit, you know, before I'm on a holiday. I'd like to just, you know, follow someone in ministry, just to see what your life and what everything looks like." And I was like, "Oh, no." Like, the last thing I want is this guy walking around with a clipboard checking on my life, because I know me, and it's going to be quite underwhelming for him. And so I was like, "Man, I'm going to America. Things are really busy. I don't really know if this is going to be the right time or the place or the space." And so I did what, if you know me well and you're not offended with me, you might be offended with me, but if you're not, is that I'm not really great at communicating on my cell phone. I work best in smoke signals and pages. That's how I contact people best. And so I hadn't replied to him for a while, and then he messaged again, "Hey, just checking if this is possible." And I said to Sam, "Oh, babe, you know what? I've got every excuse in the book. I don't have the capacity at the moment." And I was lying down on the couch, and I literally felt the Lord say to me, "I want you to have him." I was like, "I don't know what we're going to do. Okay, cool." So I reached out. I was like, "I don't know how we're going to make this work, but I'd love to have you. Come and stay." Anyway, long story short, he's been with me this week, and I hope that God's showed him something, if anything. But what it's done for me, it's really built my faith. It's really built my faith, having him around. And part of it has been, you know, just there's nothing like the fresh fire of a Bible student to make you feel like you don't know what you're doing. Am I right? Like, every time we go into a meeting, I have like a serious meeting with someone, and then as we're about to leave, he's like, "Hey, sorry, could I just, I had a word the Lord gave me to encourage you." And I'm like, "Yeah, I did too, but but he's got that." Or then I go for a haircut, and like, it's this quite Turkish Islam haircut situation. It's my form of evangelism, is I go there and sit in dead silence for 20 minutes and then walk away hoping that they know I'm a believer. And as I'm leaving, Damon's like, gets up and he walks up to one, like the roughest person who walked in for a beard shape, you know, those type of guys. Not a beard cut, a beard shape. And he's like, "Hey man, sorry, I just want to, you know, do you know the gospel of Jesus?" And he like shares the gospel with him and then gives him a prophetic word, and I'm sitting there going, Yeah, I was going to do that. But, you know, I want to make space for him. No, man, and I just wanted to say that, and I wanted to encourage him in front of everyone. He's got an incredible story, a little, like a life story of what God's done just to this point. And I'm really encouraged by you. Like, and you have built my faith this week in being with us. And it's funny, we prayed in the car on the way to church, and he's like, "Lord, thank you that we get to go to church as a family." And I was like, it's incredible that in a week, it does feel like it. It feels like family. And so, yeah, I just wanted to honor you. It's been such a pleasure having you with us, and he's been in my elders' meetings and all the meetings you've been in. And so, yeah, I just wanted to bless you. Lord, I pray that for Damon, as he goes into the rest of this season, just leap for this half and then off to America as well. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to do the good work that you started inside of him. Lord, I pray that you would bless him and that this tree that's begun to grow, these fruit that we're seeing, Lord, I pray that it would be evidence of the life that you've put inside of him. We ask this in your wonderful name. Amen. 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 Shout. And so this morning, I do want to carry on from last week. So if you didn't hear last week, like, I don't need you to go and listen to a preach. It does nothing for me. But if you miss some of the context, it is up from last week what we're speaking about. But we've been reading in Galatians, and we've been talking about the life of discipleship and what it means to be a disciple. And then last week we spoke about that there's actually these two things that happen in a person, and that's you can actually have what they call the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. And actually how the life that God has called us to live is not one that we just live and result in works, but it would be actually a life that bears fruit. And they're distinctly different. You see, works come through effort and doing, and fruit comes from being a part of and remaining. And so if you missed last week, congratulations, you missed a tough one. But we went through, line by line, all the works of the flesh, all the terrible things that as a believer, we all struggle with. That if you're a Christian, you live with an inner struggle. There is a part of you that really wants to live by the Spirit and wants to do what's right, and there's a part of you that really wants to do what's wrong. It's not just me. I'm not the only rebel here. I like to think that way, but I'm not. You're all the same. Some of you just hide it better than others. But the reality is that this struggle inside of us produces two things. The one is it can either produce works, things that we do, actions, and we listed those actions and what they are, sexual immorality and all of those great and wonderful things we read and went through. Or we can look at the fruit that comes out of following the Holy Spirit. And so this morning's the happy version. I get to finish with the fruit of the Spirit. We get to talk about, okay, so if you walk your life following the guiding of the Spirit, what should result from that? What is the symptoms that will come out of that? And those are the marks of discipleship. Those are the marks of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Amen. Do you know that what we have wrong in the world is we say that the gifts are what show if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? If you can prophesy, if you can speak in tongues, if you can do all these amazing things with the gifts, then the Holy Spirit's inside of you. I'm saying, no, when you walk according to the Spirit, it's not the things that you do, it's the person that you are. Now, Jesus hasn't called you to be a person with incredible gifts. He's called you to be a person whose character has fruit. He's far more interested in the fruit of your life than your gifts or your abilities. Amen. Cool. Great. Now that you know that, we can just move on, I suppose. So let's be clear. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the Holy Spirit... And it said, and the first part was it spoke about the works of the flesh. But it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Who produces the fruit? Is it you? Is it your life? It is. Just catch you out there. The Holy Spirit produces something in your life. His work inside of you. I hope that if you don't, this is what a symptom of not having the Holy Spirit in your life is, this will feel impossible. You're correct. Without the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of God inside of us, it is impossible to bear fruit. This will look like a to-do list, an unachievable to-do list. Okay. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of the sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Not the Sunday part, or the Wednesday part, or the Christian part. You know, you have like a work self and a home self and a quiet time self. In every part of our lives, let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So I wanted to give us a few thoughts on the fruit of the Spirit, and then I'm going to spend a little bit of time on one and then touch on the rest, because that's how they work. The first thing is this. Do you notice that it's not the fruits of the Spirit? Do you notice that? It's not, hey, listen, God wants to come in your life and the Holy Spirit wants to live inside of you, and then you have an option to produce all these different kinds of things. You can have bananas or grapes or apples or guavas, or you can have all these different kinds of fruit, because what we do is we think, oh, well, if I'm missing one, you can at least have more of the other. Am I right? No? Isn't it sometimes like, oh man, I really battle with patience, but I'm so good at loving. I'm not really a great banana tree. I'm an amazing apple tree. There's this. No, no, no. The Bible says there is one fruit of the Spirit. One. And it encompasses all of these things. All of these things make up the singular fruit of the Spirit. You don't get to have one or the other or the other or the other. You don't get to be, this is the one that I'm good at, this is the one that I'm not good at, this is, but actually, the fruit of the Spirit is a singular thing that happens in our lives when we follow the guiding of the Holy Spirit every single day. Do you agree? Thanks, Nick. Nick's like, that's right. Thank you. I noticed, the Bible says so. And so do you know that if you are missing some of these, if you're like, hey, I have some but not the other, there is something to be looked at. That if you follow as a believer, as somebody who wants to become a disciple of Jesus, someone who wants to imitate his life, someone who wants to be with him. Remember, the point of a disciple is that we would walk with him, become like him, and do the things he did. That's the definition of a disciple. If we want to be those, that the fruit of God living inside of us, that comes out of us, should be these things. So what happens when it's not? I hope you're asking that question, because that's the question I ask. I'm like, oh shucks. What if that's not the case? What if I don't? Love is easy for me, but patience. Have you been to Home Affairs lately? That'll test your fruit. Or sometimes we ask, like, Lord, would you give me more patience, or would you give me more joy, or would you? And I'm saying, I understand that thinking, and those are characteristics that we can have in our personality, but the fruit of the Spirit is different to character traits. It's saying when you follow Jesus, your life is defined by these things. And without him, it's impossible. And so if you're finding it impossible, you don't need more of that thing. You need more of Jesus. You need more of the Holy Spirit. You see, the problem that can come with charismatic thinking in church is that we say, Lord, would you fill us with your Spirit? And what we mean is like, Lord, would you give me a feeling? Or Lord, would you give me a gift? Or Lord, would you come and do? No, but to say, Lord, I want to be filled with your Spirit. Because the Bible says, don't be filled with wine, be filled with the... Yo. We're very interactive this morning. It's very cool. Be filled with the Spirit. Why make the comparison between wine and the Spirit? What does wine do when you've had a lot of it? This is funny, Colin. What does it do? Come on, guys. Bad decisions. You do things. It produces actions in your life. I'm from the East. Our greatest, the way that the East of Joburg, that is, by the way. Now you should be afraid. Our reference for alcohol was Dutch courage. If I was too afraid to go and socky with a bokkie. Yeah. If I was afraid to go and socky with a bokkie, then I go to get some alcohol and I infuse some courage inside of me so that I can do something that I wouldn't normally do. Amen. Do you know that it's the same with the Holy Spirit? That, Lord, there is a life that I want to live. There is a boldness that I want to have, like I see in Damon. There is godly characteristics inside of me that I want, that I can't get with wine, but I need with your Spirit. I need your Spirit to fill me so that I can live the way that I want to live. And when the Holy Spirit's inside of you, He affects the decisions that you make. He affects the courage that you have. He affects the way that you speak. That's what happens with wine. The opposite with the Spirit is that you speak, He brings to remembrance. So the Holy Spirit living inside of us is a very real aspect. And without it, Christianity is frustrating and boring and discouraging. Without it, Christianity is dead. It's rules. That's why He says, against such things there is no law. You cannot act your way to this. You don't become a disciple of Jesus by doing the right things. It's by having a relationship and being filled with the Spirit of God. Then I am a certain person because of what He's done inside of me, not because who I am on my own. Thank you, Sam. Does that make sense? So let's look at this quickly. Works is achieved and done. Fruit is by abiding and remaining. Works are singular and you have to do every single one. The works of the flesh. You do this, you do this, you do this. Fruit reproduces itself. It's the nature of fruit. Multiplies. Fruit nourishes. Works don't. I want to read the scripture in John 15, verse 1 to 8, just so you can understand this concept of how do we bear fruit, and then I want to just elaborate on them quickly. Great thing I started my time. I am the true grapevine, John 15, verse 1 to 8, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't bear fruit, and He prunes every branch that does, so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me. How did Jesus teach his disciples to remain in him? He said, when you do what I have commanded, you remain in me. As you obey my commands, so you remain in me and I remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is cut off from the vine. As a Christian, if you are cut off from God, if you are cut off from a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it is impossible to bear fruit. If you have a fruit problem, you don't fix it by doing more things. It's by going to the Lord. He is the one that produces fruit. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Again, this is, you must understand, when Jesus is teaching like this, it's not just for the sake of a story. He's teaching a principle. He's saying, And I want to reiterate this because I see this in, and I'm going to use a blanket term for it, nominal Christianity. I see this in people that battle and they walk with God, is that Christianity without connected to the vine is dead. Religion without Jesus is dead. Going to church, reading your Bible, doing the right things without a relational connection with God is dead. It'll kill you. Yo, shouty today. Those who remain in me and I remain in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Remember the language of last week. Those who do the works of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Do not be fooled. If you are not connected to the vine, if you are not bearing fruit, you will not inherit the kingdom. There is no actions that lead to heaven. There are no actions that lead to eternity. It's relationship with the eternal one that brings us into eternal life. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, here's the kicker. What are we focusing on? When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So I have to re-emphasize that in the beginning, that when I'm about to talk about these fruit, this is not you producing them. You don't grow in them by trying harder and doing more. You grow in them by connecting with the Lord. You grow in them by saying, Lord, I lack love in my life. Would you show me your love? Lord, I lack kindness in my life. Would you show me your kindness? Lord, I lack faithfulness in my life. I'm not a faithful person. I'm unfaithful with my eyes. I'm an adulterer in my heart. Would you show me your faithfulness? I'd love to run through some of these fruits, and it's this. The first one that he mentions is love. Do you know why love? Because love is actually the main fruit, and the rest of the fruits are kind of, you could describe them as this. They are the flavors of love. They are love in action. And so that's why the Bible doesn't command that the greatest thing you can do is love the Lord your God and be patient with Phil. Love the Lord your God and be kind towards Nick. No. It's love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And love looks like something. Is that okay? And so we have one word. We just say love. I love Michael. I love Michael. I really do. But I love Sam. When I dance with Michael, it's very different. Because I love to dance with Michael, but I love to dance with Sam. We're at a wedding last night, and it's a vibe. But let me tell you, this love is very different to this love. This love gives me butterflies. This love, I get stoked. And then we have Luke love. I love my boy. Last week, I had the privilege of taking him to go and look at animals through binoculars and watch them lie down. And we had the most, and being with my son, I love my son, and I love the time with my son. But it's different to my love for Michael, and it's different to my love for Sam. But we just say love. So when we read the fruit of the Spirit is love, we normally associate it with what we think love to be. So if you're single and you haven't got someone, the word would be eros, romantic love, romantic affection, husband and wife kind of love. We either relate God's love to that. We think, oh, so I must love everyone like I love Sam. No, that would be weird. You don't want me to love you like I love Sam. I chase her around all the time. I'm infatuated with her. That's not how I'm meant to love you. I'm also not meant to love you the same way that I love Luke. That love would be storgia. It's family affection. It's what I have for my family, my children and my parents. That love is different. That love is when Luke, and I love you, boy, don't be upset by this. When Luke treats me really badly, it doesn't affect my love for him because he's family. That blood is thicker than water. That's not the same love that the Bible's talking about. It's not the Sam love and it's not the Luke love. It's not even the Michael love is philia. It's the way that we love people. It's the way that we love our friends. We love to be around them. We love to be with them unless they're annoying. No, am I right? It's like, yeah, I love to be with my friends and I love to hang out. And then after a few days, I'm like, I love you, but I really love being alone. Like, I love you, but I love me more than you. I like to be alone with just me. And so the problem is with one word, this is how we relate to love. So we think the fruit of the Spirit is love, and whichever love is most profound in your life, that's what you think it needs to be. This love that it's speaking about is different love. This is an agape love. The fruit of the Spirit is agape, which would be more than feelings. This love is characterized by deliberate love. It's agape love is characterized by this. It's deliberate love towards the undeserving. That's agape. It's, I don't love you because I feel like it. I love you because I choose to love you. And I don't love you because of what you've done for me or who you are to me or what I will get from this. I love you because I choose to love you because that's what he did for me. Agape. I wasn't deserving of his love. I was an enemy. I was anti-Christ. I was the Antichrist. I lived against him, in rebellion towards him, shaking my fist at him, swearing at him, mocking him. And he loved me. I lived in defiance of his laws and what he calls holy and sacred. I've been doing my own personal study aside from preaching. I've been reading more and more about sexuality and why it's such a big deal. Why sexual morality? Why the battle of pornography? Why sex outside of marriage? Why is this such a big deal? Because it's such a big deal to God. It's such a holy thing that God has created. In the beginning, he created them, man and woman. It's an incredibly intrinsic part of creation is God and us and man and woman. And that thing is under attack all the time. We did a marriage yesterday. And it's the joy and the beauty of the covenant. The covenant between a husband and a wife. It's beautiful. It's incredible. It's sacred. It's holy. And while I defiled that with the lusts of my flesh, he loved me, agape. That while I trampled on everything that he created to be holy, he loved me. Do you understand? So when you read in your Bible, the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's a symptom of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Is that you can choose to deliberately love people undeservedly. Because it's very easy to love people when they love you back. It actually happens spontaneously. Oh man, they treat me so well. I love being around them. I love being with them. It's when there's something out of the relationship, I really enjoy it. But when I've got nothing to gain, can I love? Do you understand why that is a miracle? Do you understand why that is impossible without the Holy Spirit? Do you understand that if you are blocked in this area, if you cannot love like that, it's because you haven't received love like that. The agape, undeserved, deliberate love of God changes us. Changes who we are. You see, you can, if you look at all of those acts, the works of the flesh, when you compare them with the fruit of the Spirit, watch how they stack up. Sexual immorality, impurity, and lustful pleasures are the empty counterfeits of love between people. Idolatry and sorcery are counterfeits for the love of God. That hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy are the opposite of love one another. That drunkenness, wild parties, and the other sins are like this are sad attempts to fill a void that only the love of God can fill inside of us. You see, it's not just that you need the agape love of God in your life to love others. It's that you have a hole inside of you, and you will seek to fill that hole all the time for the rest of your life. And there is one thing that fills that hole inside of you, and it's the love of the one who made you. Who loves you because he chose you. Who loves you not because of what you've done, but because of what he did. Who loves you because he made you to be his image. And even when you don't deserve it, even when you least deserve it, he still loves you. That is the agape love of God. That is the main fruit of the Spirit. That is what it means to be a disciple, that your life would be filled with this love that is through choice and regardless of what people deserve. That is why he could go to the cross and love those who crucified him. That is why we can love our enemies. The Bible would say, what good is it if you only love those who love you back? But to love your enemies, that's the sign. It's easy to love your wife when she's being the most incredible wife on the planet, which is my case. Phew. But this gets difficult when I'm not fulfilling all the hopes and dreams. Marriages break down when they are built on eros. That's why when we were at the wedding yesterday, one of the things we spoke to them about is that if you do not have the love of God in a marriage, you might get far, but you run the risk of it breaking down. Because eros is not undeserved. Eros is very based on how you feel and what you think. And in your 20s, eros is easy because, woo, look at you. And in your 80s, look at everybody else. It's easy to have eros when there's attraction and all the right things and all the right places. But agape is when you've lived for in my case, 15 years. And you've realized that, yeah, he might be a great dancer, but my goodness, this guy doesn't know how to pick up the laundry. Or he's so selfish. When he only thinks about himself, it's when you need agape in a marriage. That's why they say, do you know how you fix marriage issues? And if you're married, you have issues. Disclaimer, if you're married, you have issues. You are two people. You are not yet perfect. Do you know how you overcome these things? As you go closer to the Lord and she grows closer to the Lord, so you grow closer together. The further you are from him, the further you are from each other. Because if you're not receiving love from him, you can't give love. You can only give what is mutual. Amen. Dad, you thought this was going to be a preach about marriage. Some of the, and I'm going to skim through these. Some of the actions of this love now look like certain things. You've got love as the whole fruit, but then there are these other signs of this love. And it's like, for example, joy. And we've got a cultural perversion of joy. It's a natural twisted lens. It's like heaven is babies wearing bath towels, playing harps, singing lame songs. Like that's the picture of heaven. And then hell is like these raunchy girls wearing leather, looking the part and being rebellious and rock and roll and highway to hell. And it sounds like it's a vibe. That's cultural perversion. They literally make hell look joyful and heaven look boring. Am I right? That's literally how it's twisted and so on. And I know we're laughing, but it's true. I used to, for so long as a believer, I was like, I want to serve God. I want to follow him. I want to give my life to him. I want to do everything I can for him. I even want to be a martyr, but I'm not sure about heaven. Like, I don't want to wear a white robe for the rest of eternity singing holy, holy, holy. I'm ADD. I get stuck after 30 seconds. Like, holy, holy, holy. Was that a pigeon? What if I'm not a music guy? What if it's not my favorite genre? I'm not even specifically affectionate towards the harp. I would probably trade David on a harp for Michael on an acoustic. Like, I'm not being playful. I'm literally saying these are things I used to think. Heaven sounds pretty boring to me. I'm not motivated by that. I'm motivated by what I experience in this life. I love what I experience of God in my life here. I love the relationship with him. I love meeting with him. I love what he does inside of me. I love what he does through. I love serving God on planet Earth, but I'm not so sure about there. So God sold the lemon. That's not how heaven's going to be. Heaven, this is eternal life, that you would know him. That you would have a living, ongoing, consistent relationship with God all the time. That there would be no breakdown, that there would be no sin drama. Maybe you don't have this, it's just me. But when I sin, then I struggle to come to him. I sin, something in my heart, a thought in my mind, I get convicted. And then I'm like, I don't want to be near him because I'm dirty. And then, shucks, I want to be with the cool chicks in leather and hell and highway and rock and roll and... because that seems fun. No, eternal life is joy. It's real joy. It's not this perverted sense of momentary pleasure. It's joy. A fruit of the Spirit is realizing that my joy is not linked to my circumstance. That I have joy regardless of the rand dollar. I have joy regardless of the petrol price. I have joy regardless of the political situation. Because my joy is not linked to this world. My joy is connected to him. Do you understand? It's a fruit of the Spirit, is being able to have joy when your circumstances suck. Not just when they're good. That's not how you sift out the Christians from the world. It's when it sucks is their joy. When no one else is, when it's impossible to have joy is their joy. Oh, they must be a believer because everything sucks around them and yet they have joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a mark of a true disciple. Paul singing in prison. He's literally in prison celebrating, singing with joy. In prison. Think about that. We're like, oh, I wanted to worship the Lord this morning, but traffic on the N1. Can you believe it? I was bumper to bumper. I couldn't worship. It interrupted my quiet time. I was so irritated. Those taxis drive straight through the yellow line. I just can't handle it. The joy problem there is not your circumstance. It's the source of your life. Produces the joy inside of you. A peace, A peace that surpasses understanding. A peace that you don't get in the calm. A peace that you don't get when everything is going smoothly. It's the same as a joy. It's a peace that when your health is done, when you've got nothing, when the world sucks, when everything is falling apart around you, when there's turmoil, when there's, oh no, this is going to happen, oh no, this is going to happen, that I have a peace inside of me. A peace that the Bible would say surpasses understanding. Just tell me, how do you have that peace? I actually can't explain it to you. I can tell you where it comes from. It comes from the fact that the worst thing that can happen to me in this life is that I die. And my biggest problem for me is solved when I die. I'm a sinner. I sin, and it separates me from Him. When I die, that's no longer a problem. The biggest cause of turmoil in my life is sin. I don't have turmoil around other things. I don't find myself to be a people pleaser. I love you. I don't really care what you think. I love you. But my peace inside of me, what determines how I feel, is not linked to what I can see, touch, or experience now. My peace is linked to the fact that, and I got saved on this. This is how I was sitting in my room alone. The worst hypocrite. In my opinion, living the worst kind of life. And I felt the Lord say to me, I didn't hear an audible voice. I felt it on the inside. And I had to respond in faith. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I'm not one of them. Those who have, that's incredible. For me, I had this still small voice inside of me. And I felt Him say, I can forgive you. You can have peace with God. And it took faith to believe that that was true. And as I live by that faith, it has proved to be true again and again and again and again. My peace is the fact that I am right with God. If I have to die today, I know that I have peace when I meet my Maker. I think I'm going to shake in my little boots. I think it's going to be terrifying at times. I think I don't even understand what's going to happen, but I can tell you that I have peace. I have no unmet debt. I have no unchecked credit book or things that I've done or need to make right with. I know that I have peace with Him. And that peace I live with now. Understand what I'm saying? I only said it once today, babe. I've been counting. She said she listened to my preach last week because she was ill, and she said, you said, do you understand a lot? Flying on, because we're done with time. Philippians 4:7, don't worry about anything. Instead, how do you find this peace? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as long as you live in Christ Jesus. I am battling with peace. You need the peace that guards your heart and your mind. Well, it's not that easy. It's chronic for me. I understand that. But you need that peace. That's what you need to push into. Patience. Now we're going to go very quick. It's not talking about the queue at Home Affairs. Patience is not when the internet's broken and it's buffering on your YouTube. Patience is not just being able to wait. Patience means having the rest of the fruit of the Spirit for a long time. Patience is not that I agape, of course I agape. I have peace, I have joy, it's amazing. I have this, I have that, but then it's gone tomorrow. At the first sign, boom, it's all gone. No, I have long suffering in love. It means I have all of the fruit of the Spirit over an extended period of time in my life. The Holy Spirit saying, guys, I don't just want to give you a feeling that will carry you through today. I want you to have a life that is filled with love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. It's a life filled of it. It's not a moment. The fruit of the Spirit inside of us is a staying power. We're not like this. I'm in church, out of church. In church, out of church. In calm, out of calm. Upset, not upset. I don't know what the upset of upset is. Upset, happy. Offended, not offended. In, out, all about. I'm patient. My life, there's a characteristic of I'm patient. I'm waiting. I am on a journey with Jesus. Who he has called me to be will happen, and it's going to take time for me to get there. You are not going to do all the things God has called you to do now. You will do them over a lifetime of following him. You don't have to be the next massive evangelist tomorrow. Follow the Holy Spirit and see where he leads. He has incredible plans and purposes for your life, but it takes time. As the journey of becoming a disciple takes time, it means if you are under 30, you have not even, you're in the first sprint of the race. And we get frustrated that God hasn't done all the things that he promised. I'm like, you're in the opening bend of the 400 and you're already complaining. You've got a whole race to run still. You've still got to get married and have children and become a grandparent. And like, there's a whole journey of life that he's got for you to go on still. You don't get frustrated in the beginning. I just want to do more. I want to, I'm like, just relax. If you do it all in the first bend, you're not going to make the back straight. This is a journey. Be patient. Kindness and goodness. These words are linked. And it talks about kindness and goodness as attributes. And goodness touches on generosity. A fruit of the Spirit is that what I have, I give. Financially. But more important than financially, the message. Are you generous with the message of salvation? Are you generous with the gift you've been given? You might not have money to give to anybody or things or stuff. You have a message that can restore people to God. Are you generous with it? Do you still invite people to church? Do you still invite people to the Lord? Do you still speak to the barber? Do you still speak to the guy at the barber? Do you still, are you generous with the message that Jesus has put inside of you? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit reproduces. If you don't, how do we fix it? Lord, I need you. I lack your goodness, God. Would you remind me of your generosity to me with the gospel? Would you remind me of your goodness to me in my life, in what you've given me, my family, my life, my everything? Faithfulness, the ability to serve God for a lifetime. You don't achieve it with amazing principles. Faithfulness is produced while we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit over a long time. In our culture, faithfulness is not even rewarded anymore. In a career, in my dad's day, you worked for the same company for 32 years and at the end you got a pension and they looked after you and that's how life went. Now, it's like every 2 years, change jobs. It's going to increase your salary all the time. And I'm saying if you're changing jobs, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is it ingrains something inside of us that faithfulness is not something that we find important. Faithfulness is extremely important. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not just jumping to and fro all the time, from everything to everything. Faithfulness. Why? Because he's faithful to us. Gentleness and self-control. Gentleness is not timidity and passiveness, and it's not this toxic, oh, look at me, I'm alpha. alpha male. Like, that's this whole big thing at the moment. It's like we swung to toxic masculinity, and now we've swung to this, like, be a chop. Like, don't be like that, but don't be a chop. Like, you don't have to have this bravado of people must fear me. That makes me feel important in life. The reality is people actually don't fear you. They just think you're weird. Don't, it does nothing for you. Do you know what gentleness is? Gentleness is strength under control. The most incredible people are gentle. It's when they have extreme strength, but it's under control. You don't have to be gentleness in the way that you speak. Well, I'm a confrontational guy. That's how I am. I like to be like this. I'm like, hey, gentleness goes a lot further than sorry. At least the kids are loving it today. I'm going to get great feedback. Gentleness. Ask your spouse, husband and wife, because sometimes I've seen some of you ladies, you are scary. Scary. It's not just the men, it's the women. Can I speak to the manager, please? I'm not saying you can't speak to the manager, just gentleness. The way that we speak to our children. How do you treat people that serve you? I want to ask that again. How do you treat people that serve you? Are you gentle? We live in a culture where you are served daily. You go to a grocery store, you go to a petrol station, your children, in my case, they serve me. You are served on the regular. How do you treat people offering service towards you? Well, I'm the client. The customer always knows best. Self-control. Controlling one's self. Not others. Not controlling others. Everyone thinks this just means not slapping someone for doing something silly. That's not self-control. Self-control is, yes, being in control of yourself, but also exclusively only controlling yourself. Are you controlling towards others? We're called to be those who control only ourselves. Love to pray for us. Michael, can you jump up there for me? I will ask you to stand. Nick. I'm being gentle. As I've preached about this, I have the purpose of this thing is that I've wanted to provoke you in your life that maybe you've seen that there are areas of lack. Maybe that this fruit of love in my life is lacking some flavors inside of it. And what I'm not asking you to do today is to do better. Please don't try. Please don't try to do better. Please don't, I'm going to get up tomorrow and do this thing better. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more kind. I'm going to be more gentle. I'm going to be more self-controlled. I'm going to be more faithful. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to look at that again. I'm not going to be involved in that again. I'm going to be faithful. I'm asking you, please don't. I'm going to have peace. I will have joy. I'm going to make myself love better. I will love better. I'm going to do better. Please don't. Please don't. It's this. It's would you come to Him and you say, Lord, would you fill me again? I lack love. I lack joy. I lack peace. I lack self-control. I lack faithfulness. God, there are areas of my heart that I can see that there's no fruit, but You're the one who produces fruit. Lord, would you fill me again with your Spirit inside of me that I could produce these kinds of fruit, this kind of fruit in my life? If that's you this morning, I would really love to pray with you, because the Bible has these specific scriptures that when we ask of the Holy Spirit, that like a good father wants to give gifts to his children, that he will give you the Spirit. And so if you'd like to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you come into my life again, new? Not that you've never, I need it again. Would you fill me again? I wonder if you could just stand with me. Love to just pray with us for his Holy Spirit to come and fill us again where we're lacking fruit. Not to give us a better abilities to do things, but filled again. Lord, I pray right now that where there is lack, that we would experience you. That where agape love is lacking, that we would receive agape love. That where joy and peace are lacking, that we would experience your joy and peace. Not that we would make it happen, but that you would do it inside of us by the miracle of your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me again. I repent for when my actions have been opposite. I don't want to be like this anymore, but I know that I can't do it on my own. I need you, God. I need you to bring the growth. I need you to grow the seed up inside of me. I know that you are the one who makes it grow. Holy Spirit, would you fill us again right now? Jesus, you said that to your disciples, that when we ask of your Spirit, you'll give it to us. So I ask in the name of Jesus, Father, would you fill us with your Spirit right now? Fill us that our lives would be marked and different. Fill us that our lives can produce fruit. Fill us that we can produce fruit, because then it'll be a sign that we are true disciples. We want to be your disciples. While everyone else is doing business with the Lord, I'd love to just this morning just take the opportunity. If you haven't received that agape love that I spoke about, if you've never felt that the love of God who comes to save you, if you've never surrendered your life, said, God, I want to give my life to you. If you've never responded to that call where he says, my child, I love you. I want you to know this morning, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. If you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe you want to recommit your life to him, maybe you've served him at one point, but you definitely don't serve him anymore at the moment in your eyes. If you would love to give your life or recommit your life, everyone else is busy with the Lord. I wonder where you are right now. Could you just raise your hand with me? We just want to pray with you. We just want to encourage you. Where you are, just raise your hand. We see that hand, Dex. Could you maybe pray with her over here? Raise that hand, please. And I'm urging you, because I'm saying we want to be those who respond to the kingdom. We want to be those who give our lives to him. You don't want to miss out on this. Is there anybody else? That's amazing. We celebrate with you. We celebrate with you. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracle that you do in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your agape love that comes to save us and to set us free. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us undeservedly, that we've done nothing to deserve your love. So, Lord, I pray for us this morning that your love would come and be real inside our hearts and in our lives. Lord, that this fruit wouldn't come through an effort of our own, but it would come through you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.